This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Tell me, do you think it'd be alright if I could just have your advice? You see, I'm in a sticky situation and I've got no more else to go. And while I'm sitting here confused, your observations are sometimes crude, but I got myself here in the first place and now I'm laughing with you. I will download your podcast show and trust my real name won't.
Best intro song ever?
You know, it's actually based on a real song.
Really? It's based on one of my favorite songs.
Hey, Jealousy.
Love it.
By the Gin Blossoms.
Yeah, dude. If we could get one more, I'd really like it. What's the other Gin Blossoms song?
I don't know.
Whispers at the Bus Stop.
Oh, yeah.
Found out about you. Yeah.
Wow.
Can you do that one too, dude? Who is this guy?
This guy's name is, I don't know. It just came from somebody named Stop the Rock. And he says, you and your listeners can feel free to add me on Steam.
Of course.
And his name is I Filthy Casual on Steam.
What is Steam?
I think it's a video game thing.
All right.
Steam.
Dude, can you do it? Oh, I love this. I love this song so much.
I didn't know the Gin Blossoms were so good that they had two good songs.
They have three. There's that other one too. Anywhere you go.
Oh, damn.
I'll follow you down.
Yeah. Jeez.
They're great.
Yeah.
Great band.
Our pilot wasn't picked up.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me like that? just drop the news. Not even a buildup. Not even like, hey, you guys, so we found out about the pilot.
Right.
Just,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your parents are dead.
We had to tear the Band-Aid.
Yeah. That's true.
Where do we start? So what is this?
It's an advice show. Just glossing right over it.
Well, first of all, we should say that we're not joking.
Yeah. No, that's true. Our pilot was not picked up by True TV. They decided not to pick up the pilot that we made.
Yeah. We shot it in August. And I guess just to backtrack a little bit, you write a script. They say, great, shoot it. They said, True TV told us to shoot it. We shot it. It was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
We edited it. Took a month to put it together. We made an episode that we were very proud of that we thought looked great.
Yep.
And then for reasons, you know, I guess it's a TV. TV is a business.
Sure.
And they thought they wouldn't make money on our TV show.
Well, who's to say, you know, what goes into the decision? That's left to us to wonder forever.
Sure. It's one, their opinion on the show. Two, how focus group testing does. They show it to random people and gauge their results.
Maybe who knows what's going on inside the offices of True TV, like what their budgetary constraints are and what kind of shows they're looking for and what's happening in the marketplace of every other network. And, a million things. But all that we could say is fuck them.
No. whoa. No,
I'm just kidding.
How did you feel when you first... Here's the thing. We found out 2 months ago, but we weren't supposed to tell anybody. Right.
I think the worst part was probably just talking to people, fans over the last 2 months. And be like, when are we going to hear about the TV show? We're doing interviews with random student newspapers.
And yeah.
What about the TV show? I'm like, hey, fingers are crossed. The entire time I knew that we were.
Yeah. And they're like, duh, it's definitely going to happen. I'm like, yeah, it's definitely going to happen. Yeah.
And all the questions about the pilot. It was the best experience of my life. Yeah. Meanwhile, I knew that it was not moving forward.
It felt so we're all so optimistic and positive when we shot it and then we put it together and then showed it to some people and everyone was like, so I didn't even have a space in my brain for the fact that it wouldn't get picked up.
Yeah. I just remember being on set, everybody, the hair and makeup people, the gaffers, everyone was like, we just have such a good feeling about the show.
Yeah.
Please, you guys are definitely going to get picked up.
Yeah.
Bring me back. This is the team. This is it felt like summer camp. We just, even our showrunners were like, it never goes this smoothly. It's never this much fun. It was everybody's favorite experience on a set. And it was our first time. So it's a dream come true.
Not to mention the cast. We were just getting very close with the other people in the show.
Yeah. I mean, Rick Fox is on the set of our pilot. I had my 30th birthday that week.
Right.
It's everything was just it's going so great. It was lovely. Yeah. Alan Havey, who was on Mad Men. Betsy Sidaro, super funny. Just an incredible cast of people.
It's funny. I thought I was over it. Now we're just talking about it. I'm getting sad again.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's really sad.
And then I equate it to just sprinting and having fun, jogging, having a great time. And then when we found out that they were no, I was I hit a wall and you didn't see it.
Right.
I hit a pole. And I was like,
yeah, it's almost like going on. I would feel like it felt like going on vacation or something, and being like, that was amazing. Now we just take some time off, and hey, we're all going to be back here again. We'll do this with each other, and then instead of going on a second vacation, they're like, all your friends are dead.
What are you talking about? They're dead.
We had so much fun together.
Yeah,
everyone liked it.
I thought it was good. I thought it was great. And we have all these fans that would love to watch it. Why don't you want to put it on?
Yeah, that's the other. That's almost the second layer of sadness, which is this is such a depressing beginning of the podcast. I was sad for myself when we found out because it was such a fun experience and I wanted to keep on writing it, but to disappoint all of our fans and be like, this now Jake and Amir is actually over.
Right.
There's no more Jake and Amir ever.
That's correct. The end of that chapter. Mm-hmm.
Ending it for College Humor was bittersweet, but we're like, well, we still have the pilot. So these characters are not gone.
There's a glimmer of hope.
Right.
And now
the hope is dashed.
And then, like you said, it's sad to tell your friends that because everybody was always asking, hey, are you going to find out soon? You think you're going to find out? We're optimistic. We're positive. Everyone's saying good things. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, mommy, daddy, they said no to us.
Yeah, telling my parents was really hard. I think it was harder to tell my family than friends because all of our friends are sort of in this industry.
Yeah,
they know what it means to you guys shot your pilot. And you're going to move on to the next project and it's all going to be fine. But my family, they're like, this is your TV show. And if it doesn't go, then you fail and you have to move home or something.
Right. They're like, wait, so what now? They didn't like it. It wasn't good. It's like, no, it was good. It was just that there was also other factors in it sometimes.
I'm sorry. What are you going to do? There's nothing. Now you're screwed, huh? No, we'll still go. We'll get meetings and we'll write and we have a pod. That was the other, what are you going to do? We're focused on the podcast. no matter how popular a podcast you have, it's not a good sentence to say, I'm just focused on my podcast right now.
Yeah. And we also, I also feel, I hope that our fans aren't, I mean, I guess I understand that they'll be disappointed. I just don't want them to be upset or feel like we shortchanged them. We do appreciate, like, the only reason we got this far, or one of the main reasons we got this far, is because of our built-in fan base.
Yeah, like, people... well, that's our show is on a very interesting trajectory, because I don't even know how much we, like, told people, like, it moved to True TV, but that's because it actually died at TBS. Like, remember the whole Greenlight Jake and Amir hashtag?
Yeah.
TBS didn't necessarily pay attention to that as much as we wanted them to.
Right.
They, I mean, they definitely registered, but they, like... it didn't help us.
And then, but what did help?
No, it did help us, but not in this. All right, so so TBS passed on our script.
Yeah.
And then when that happens, usually that's it for everybody. But because of the Greenlight Jake and the Amir movement, that was what True TV, like, responded to. And they were like, these guys have this built-in fan base,
right,
so we're going to give them a shot. So the only reason we got to film our pilot is because of the fans.
Right, so you guys... took us so far, and we were hoping to be able to, you know, once we're on the 1 yard line, we're
you
like,
you threw us the alley-oop and we smashed it against the rim.
We got this. I'm a goal line back, and we were stuffed three times and then missed a field goal. And we're like, oh shit, sorry about that. It's like when a kicker misses a last second field goal and he, like, walks around and looks at all, like, the real football players, like, ah, fellas, you know how it goes. We'll get them next time. It's like, yeah, I'm actually a fucking superstar athlete. I made some pretty insane catches. You're 5'9", 130 pounds, and you missed a kick.
A lot of pressure on the kicker. It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, guys, there's a lot of pressure on us. And we did do our best job, and we did. We are proud of what we wrote, and we are proud of what we shot, and we think it looks really good, and we are still really happy with it. Unfortunately, as it goes sometimes, some of the funniest people and some of the funniest pilots don't end up going because of there's so many, like, outside factors. This is me talking to myself late at night after I was, like, bummed and depressed about it. It's like, it's okay. Sometimes my friend wrote me an email. He's like, listen, every, like, buddy that you like in Hollywood, all the funniest people, like Tina Fey and all these people, Amy Poehler, all had pilots that didn't go.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it works. You don't shoot one shot and you're like, well, that's my career. I missed one shot.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you have that. You write a script and that doesn't go. Then you may shoot a pilot and that doesn't go. And you do that two or three times and then one does happen. And then you can either even have a show on TV that nobody watches. Some people have shows for a season and then they go away and you're like, what happened? You're like, oh, my show was on TV. And they're like, oh, I don't really remember that.
And you can have shows that are, like, super popular. Like, Steve Levitan had Modern Family is, like, the number one show, and he pitched another show, went to pilot, and that didn't get picked up.
Right.
You wouldn't pick up a Steve Levitan show.
Yeah, he's already proven himself, sirs.
He has the best show on TV.
But that's sort of the business that we've chosen for ourselves. It's hard, but you know what would be harder is doing literally any other occupation.
Yeah, like being a teacher.
Yeah, that would be really difficult.
Right?
You don't have to deal with the stresses of having shows being picked up and not, and decisions being made out of your control, but you do have to teach children for
every day, and like
9 months out of the year.
Seven.
Yeah, that's really hard too.
Like lesson plans and stuff. Like being a doctor, stakes are pretty high there.
So silver linings. One. Well, this is, like we said, we found out several months ago. So we've been through all the level stages of grief. First, we were shocked. Then we were mad, and we're like, "Wait, why didn't True pick up our show? Our show was so good. Our web series got more views than their TV shows."
Yeah.
And then I was like, "You know what? True TV gave us the opportunity to begin with, so I can't be mad at somebody giving me a shot, and then it didn't happen."
Right.
And then I'd be like, "How dare you guys not give us two shots?"
Yeah, still the how dare they?
Yeah, absolutely. And silver linings. One, whenever stuff like this happens, I like to imagine, like, 3 years from now being like, oh my God, that was actually the best thing that ever happened to us because that allowed us to do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
It's hard to think about X, Y, and Z right now because it hasn't happened yet.
Because, we're still on W.
Yeah, we're still on W, X, Y, and Z. So W didn't go, but then... I want to hopefully get to a place where it's like, okay, now that we have free time, now that what have we learned, now we have free resources and effort, at our disposal. Let's create more. Let's see what we can do after Jake and Amir. That was 8, 9, 10 years of our lives.
Right.
We learned a ton. Now maybe we can start doing something else. Maybe if Jake and Amir didn't exist, or I shouldn't say that, but with Jake and Amir in our rearview mirror, what can we create that's new based on what we've learned so far?
This is us like bombing a pitch meeting.
So anyways, it's two cactuses and it's stop motion.
And one's a doofus, the other is sarcastic.
And we do have ideas. We have a lot of things percolating that we are excited about.
I mean, even when we were making Jake and Amir, we were still like developing other ideas. And Jake and Amir just always had first position because it had been like on the docket the longest.
Yeah.
And like we had been meeting with these networks and stuff about it, but there were always other ideas,
and now we have the time to put, you know, energy, effort, and resources to creating other ideas.
So hopefully you guys hear more about those soon.
And I don't know, we still love the internet, and like TV is really fun because when you get a TV show, it still has a lot of clout, like, oh, I'm on television.
Yeah,
but the internet still excites us because, one, we have like complete control over like what we make. Like our podcast gets listened to more than some TV shows.
Right.
But
and
for whatever.
We don't have to give it to anybody for notes.
Right. Notes are fun, but difficult at the same time. But it does kind of feel like for 8 years we were pushing a rock up a hill, and then like at the last second we let go and it fell all the way back down. We're like, shit, God damn it. It took us so long to create that. And now it's at the bottom of a fucking hill.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's more like the rock fell forward down a hill. So it didn't go all the way back
down. We got it to the top of I feel like we got it to the top of the hill. And then we pushed it down. Like we let
forward,
it go to see where it would end up.
Uh-huh.
And then like it fell into the ocean and sunk to the bottom.
Oh.
And we were like, oh, that's not coming back.
No.
But you know what? We trusted the universe,
and
the rock didn't necessarily fall into, like, I don't know where the rock was ideally gonna go, and like why you really push a rock up a hill to begin with.
Of course, it was more of a metaphor than anything else.
But like, was Sisyphus ever like, why do I have to?
Well, that's, I guess, and we're talking philosophically about why do we do anything? At the end of the day, it's just
money,
about
recognition.
Yeah, cash.
Cash.
Absolutely,
cash
we want
king.
Cash for that.
And change is God.
Oh, mercy. Oh my God,
you're crying.
I'm dying, which is like crying, but even worse if you can imagine. So that's the sort of full story. Frequently asked questions. Can we see the pilot? Another sad answer. It appears as if since True paid for it, they own it, so we can't release it.
Yeah, we've asked.
We made this show for them, and they took it, and they can do with it whatever they wish.
It'd be cool if they released it.
Sure.
We can ask again.
Sure.
But it's not necessarily up to us.
But like a lover that's been broken up with, I feel like the only way to truly get over it is to sink our teeth into something new.
Yes.
And
which is why we got the podcast network.
Right.
We've got
oh, shit.
Fuck my ass.
And that's the goal right now, is to create other stuff to occupy our creative talents and abilities.
I think we still got the same sensibilities. We still find each other funny. I don't want to say we're still funny. Yeah. I'm still funny.
To me.
It's like the saddest thing to say into the mirror.
I'm actually funny. Still funny. What was I going to say? Oh, right. Another silver lining is that, God damn it, it was just in my brain. What were you saying? We're still funny. Yeah, that's true. Not
want
to say.
We're still funny.
We're still funny.
We have the same sensibilities. Uh-huh. We're going to create something.
Yeah,
that's
create
like
something
Jake and Amir,
new.
But not Jake and
oh,
Amir.
Oh, yeah. Another silver lining is the fact that I really like the way the Jake and Amir web series ended. So the fact that there's no TV show, it gives it a clean and definite ending. Whereas like if that was the ending of the web series and then there was also like a TV show that lasted 8 episodes,
right,
it would have been kind of murky.
Yeah, that's true.
So I like Jake and Amir is now a self-contained online volume, which is sort of how it started, and then I feel like it's an appropriate ending for it.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, rather than like having it go on to do some other kind of mediums. I feel like
it like Saved by the Bell, the college years.
Yeah,
just had,
or like Zach the Entourage movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, like, that was dope.
Well, obviously the
you
Entourage
gotta understand,
movie.
Turtle is like rich.
He's so rich. But now it's about like, if that was our office, what's our extras? What's next? And that's what we're most excited about.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, most people's favorite comedians don't just do one thing forever and that's it.
Hopefully, yeah, we can do what's our Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Larry David made a great show. And then
we're comparing Jake and Amir to Seinfeld.
Yeah. In terms
and ourselves
of it,
to Larry David.
In terms of it being good and internationally renowned. But it's, yeah, what's now? If Jake and Amir was our 20s, we're excited about what our 30s. And this podcast is actually giving us a ton of ideas, just because like, yeah. I feel like we're constantly raking in psyches of 15 to 35 year olds and their biggest insecurities and their biggest questions and their biggest concerns.
These emails are just like a case study on millennials in general.
Right.
So it's definitely... it's giving us a lot of fodder, for sure.
Yeah, and that's what I'm most excited about, is turning our new time to create something like Jake and Amir, but completely different.
And I might be a carpenter's apprentice.
What's that?
I've always been interested in woodworking, and comedy's not panning out. So I might be into like building porches and gondolas.
Gondolas?
Yeah, dude.
So you're talking about like a wooden floor or like a giant cable car?
Yeah, a gondola, a porch, a gazebo, just some sort
of... Two of those three make sense, but the gondola feels so like a marvel
of
modern technology.
Maybe a gondola is the same thing as a gazebo in my head.
I see. So in your mind, a gondola was just a wooden little giant
birdhouse. This is why I need the fucking apprenticeship, dude. So I can learn...
I think I can probably help you out, at least with the definitions part.
A gondola, yeah, it's not what I want to make.
Right. Sir, just to start things out, I used to do comedy. A gondola is not what I want to make. And just know that I'm interested in woodworking.
Can I see your saw, man?
Jeez, Louise. All right. You want to answer a question? Or? Should we take a break? Like that'll cleanse us.
Yeah, let's take a nice little break.
It's a little early, but we'll take a break. Thank a few more people. We'll come back. We'll answer some real fucking questions.
Yeah, dude.
And honestly, you guys, don't give up on us, because like, this is when we need you the most. Like,
Christ,
holy shit, everyone's leaving.
It's so weird. Now we have processed it. Now I have to fucking rethink about the dumbass pilots.
Well, well, for the listeners and our fans, this is the first time they're hearing about it. Remember how we felt for the first half hour, just like dazed.
Yeah,
like we were confused and sad and angry. It's such a weird feeling. Just be like, they didn't pick it up. What are you talking about?
All those calls all day.
Yeah, we worked so hard for years on this thing. Why would they not give us a chance to make it? Was it not good to them? Did they not like it? Is it not good? Did we just lie to ourselves? I think it was good. But then again, every time someone makes a pilot, whether it's good or bad, everyone says this is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone's quote unquote optimistic, because that's what you have to be. You have to be happy and positive.
Maybe in a couple years we'll like meet some True TV executives at some like event and we'll all be drunk and like we'll be successful with something else.
Right.
And we'll be like, so tell us the truth about Jake and Amir. Like, obviously it doesn't matter now. We've got the number one show on NBC.
Friends too.
Yeah. Let's take a break.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast,
super simple. It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress. And all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code helixpartner20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is helixpartner20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
Hey, we're back.
All right. Who's having a good day?
It's just that, what other industry do you spend so long on something and it just gets flat out rejected?
Yeah.
Like, imagine being just like, I don't know, a hairdresser, and for 3 years you've been working on a haircut, and then somebody just says, sorry, we don't want it.
You never get to do that haircut again.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know. Just something to think about.
Anywho.
Shall we answer some questions?
Yes. I think we threw a pity party and the party is over.
Yeah.
I think so.
Guys, get over it. We'll still do shit. This isn't the end of me and Jake. It's just the end of our web series with the same exact name.
It's so funny if we ended the podcast today too.
Yeah. Oh, shit. We should have mentioned that earlier too. This is the last podcast as well.
Yeah. The numbers just aren't really...
Just kidding. We now have more time to dedicate to this podcast more than ever. Expect bigger things coming and HeadGum to grow. And we can sink our teeth into that whole thing, creating videos and more podcasts and more shows and more episodes.
Yes, dude.
What about giving the names of these people?
Oh, how about the names and addresses of True TV executives?
Oh, okay. So I was going to say the names of people that helped us create the show.
That's a nice idea.
Yeah. So for example,
Ed Helms,
executive producer, could not have done this without him. Got this far because of him.
The Godfather, folks.
Lended his invaluable insight and wisdom throughout the whole process. Ed Helms writes, "Hey guys, love the show, and I'm writing in for a third time. I'm a 19-year-old sophomore in college, and I'm a virgin. I'm not the most social guy, but I have also never had an issue having conversations with girls. I just re-listened to episode 95, in which you answered a question about a girl who was a virgin and was wondering if she should tell a guy she's about to have sex with that she's a virgin. I have the same question, but for a guy. If I'm in a situation where I'm about to have sex, should I tell the girl that I'm a virgin? And if not, and I ejaculate too soon, how do I remedy the situation? Sorry for the long email, and I hope you guys can get to it." Wasn't a long email. Yeah. But love, Ed Helms.
So, first of all, I wonder what kind of advice we gave the girl.
I think, if I remember correctly, actually, I don't remember. Would you say tell somebody or not?
My guess.
Well, it's funny because
like, the way I feel right now, I mean, I always just say whatever I'm thinking, like in the moment. Like, I don't know if I like, but I don't think you have to tell anybody.
Right.
So I'd imagine that I said that to the girl.
You just, well, especially, do you think it's any different for a guy or girl?
No, I don't. I don't think there's...
But with a girl, I think there was a little bit of a difference because there's the hymen breaking and the bleeding and all that issue.
Well, that's actually not necessarily true.
Oh, it's not?
Well, I mean, like, your hymen can break pretty easily before you lose your virginity.
But what if it doesn't, and then you have it, and then there's lots of blood, and then it's like, oh, the proof is in the red pudding. Is it okay that I call a hymen breaking or really any female menstruation red pudding?
It's okay with me, but okay. I think it should.
That's fine. You That's all I need to.
Definitely.
All I okay. want to know is that if it's okay with you.
I mean, as long as you're comfortable knowing, it might not be okay with yes. lots of other people.
Yesterday, I got into mother's red pudding.
Oh, that's fine, it's actually. Been I really like that.
It's curdled.
I think that you... It's not that big of a deal to lose your virginity.
I wish your hands weren't down your pants right now while you were talking about this.
Yeah.
You're right. Squeezing your dick while you answer this question.
Right.
You're just talking about it. I'm actually
not squeezing my dick. It's my balls.
You're squeezing your balls as if like it's some sort of weird like fortune telling thing. You're like, actually, let me see what I should do.
Yeah, I don't know what I said last time. Balls. Tell me.
I'm going to squeeze my balls, open my mouth, and then the answer will come out.
My balls.
As recorded audio.
I think you'd have to tell anybody.
Do not.
I would probably not. I would probably not. If you're worried about like coming too early and like seeming really inexperienced and having somebody be like, wow, you don't know what you're doing, you could one say like, well, that was my first time. And you know, people usually, I feel like if you had sex with somebody and said that was your first time afterwards, they might make a little bit of a big deal about it.
So would you lie and be like, no, I've had sex once before?
Yeah, maybe I would just be like, I haven't done this a lot, you know?
Yeah, like zero.
Right. Well, I probably won't get into it that much, but yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you just say like, oh, when I was like a couple of years ago, like when I was in high school girlfriend or whatever. Yeah. But I'd probably lie about that.
Yeah.
Also, if you come too early, if that's your only concern, then I think you can always at least once or twice smooth over coming too early by saying like, you just turned me on so much, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And like usually... If you are so excited that you come early, like, and you're also 19, you could probably fuck a couple more times. Like, your dick's going to get hard again pretty quick.
Right, and that second and third time, you'll be lasting much, much, much longer.
Yeah, so just, like, you're good.
Yeah, it's coming too early is not, like, a virgin thing. So you don't have to be like, whoa, oh, my God, I'm a virgin. Sorry, I've been outed.
Right, I'm 30 and I still come too early.
Yeah, and you're not, are you a virgin, though?
My
high school girlfriend.
Why don't you check out my hymen, dude?
Whoa, that's awesome, dude. Red pudding, bro. I love it.
Jesus Christ.
So you would say, you don't have to tell anybody you're a virgin. I would agree with that. And then ejaculate too soon, remedy the situation. You turn me on. Oh my God, I can't believe how quickly that happened. Yeah. God, I couldn't fucking contain myself.
I think people always, like, even though it's like not necessarily satisfying to somebody else, like if you say I came too early because... I'm so attracted to you. No one could like really be mad.
That's better than not being able to come at all.
Yeah, because then somebody's like, whoa, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, you know? And it's like, nothing's wrong with you. If anything, it's too good, too fast, too soon. So it's new, but it's exciting. And when it happens, you're going to fucking love it, dude.
Yeah, baby.
Can't wait for Ed Helms to lose his virginity.
Yeah, man.
All right. Do we have a lady's name?
Marcy Patterson.
Marcy, our line producer, first hire of the Jake and Amir TV show. She assembled an amazing team. Yeah. Helped us create the show.
Hardest working person on the entire set, probably.
Dealing with logistics that we couldn't even begin to understand. Right. I found out my boyfriend and his friends send each other dirty pictures of girls they find on social media, and they all talk about how hot they are and how they want to bang these girls. They also tell each other every time they see some girl that they want to have sex with. Like when he was recently in Vegas, he was telling them about all the girls out there that he was seeing and wanted. My question is this normal or acceptable? It makes me very uncomfortable that one, he's talking about other girls sexually, and two, he's talking about girls in a degrading way. I know guys all look at other girls, but where should we draw the line? I've tried talking to him about it, but all he says is, we're guys, we're gonna act like guys. One more point is, he hasn't been completely faithful in the past. Can you help a girl out? Keep seizing that cheese, Marcy Patterson.
Interesting. I feel like I was on this guy's side all the way up until the fact that he cheated on her.
Yeah.
Like, if you're, I am totally cool with, like, you being, being attracted to other people, letting your boys know, like, oh, that girl's hot, you know, that kind of thing. But then, like, and it's weird that he's telling his girlfriend anything.
Yeah, how does she find out?
Like, I think that's the weirder part to this whole thing.
There's always, guys are sort of scumballs. Like, nobody would like me if they saw me hanging out with just two guy friends that I really, right. really like.
We all, like, we bring out the worst in each other. But, like, that's not us 100% of the time. It's just when you're with a bunch of other guys. Everybody, like...
We ramp it up.
You sink and you sink and you sink and you sink. And I think the weird thing is that you... I would never tell a girlfriend of mine, like, everything that my guy friends talked about.
Well, now we're giving the advice to the guy.
We keep these things separate. Well, I mean, yeah, we think it's strange. She said, is it weird? We think it's weird that he's telling you,
mm-hmm.
especially given the fact that he's cheated on you. Like, it's, hey, guys are going to be guys. We're going to talk about the girls that we want to fuck. Also, I did fuck
that was, but that was a mistake. And the rest of the time is just me chatting about it.
Yeah, I'll send pictures of girls that we wish we could fuck on social media, et cetera, et cetera. One time I cheated on you. Why are you making a big deal about this?
Oh, mercy. So I would say, where do you draw the line? I would say you can draw the line at actually acting on his sexual impulses.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you should tell him to stop talking to you about some of this stuff. Like, if he's telling you that he was telling his friends about girls that he wanted to have sex with and that he saw in Vegas, like, hey, don't share some of this stuff with me.
But as,
if you want to, like, fuck with him, though, you should start doing the same exact thing.
Yeah,
because this guy sounds like he's just a little bit of a tool bag. So
I don't want this to be like dudes can talk about this stuff, but chicks can't. I think guys should talk about this stuff with other guys, and girls should talk about fucking other guys with other girls.
Right. But if this guy, the part where this guy's being a tool bag is by telling his girlfriend that he's talking about this stuff.
Or maybe she found out. I don't know. How else can you find out?
But, like, she should tell him that she's talking about guys that she wants to fuck with her girlfriends. And then I feel like he'll be like, okay, I actually dislike that a bit.
Yeah.
And then at the very least, he will stop sharing with you that he's talking about that stuff with the guys. This is just things that you don't bring into a relationship.
It's kind of
who you're attracted to.
It's hard to tell a guy to change his ways when he's with other guys. That's like a difficult predicament to put somebody in.
That's like, this is just like an ignorance is bliss type thing. You're like, fine, do your thing with your guy friends. Don't cheat on me and don't tell me about the girls that you want to hook up with. I don't want to know that.
Everything else is kosh.
Yeah, so like, if you want to go and like tell your guy friends what girls are hot, that's fine, but just don't tell me that you're doing it. And then also, you cheated on me, so I think she should probably break up with him for that.
It is weird, because I don't want to be like, this guy, I don't know, I feel like I'm stuck between... Like, I don't want to tell this girl to just fucking relax. But at the same time, like, guys sending pictures of girls that they find on social media and saying how hot they are and how they want to bang them. Like, is that okay for a guy to do?
I don't think there's like anything wrong with it necessarily. I don't know exactly the pictures that they're sending to each other and all that, but yeah, I think it's pretty normal behavior for boys and girls to like talk about members of the, you know, or opposite sex or same sex.
Yeah, you know, totally. I can't stress how much we're gay friendly, 420 friendly, cat friendly, dog friendly.
But I think like all that is normal, like, you know, telling your friends who you want to fuck. The part that really grinds my gears,
yeah,
is that they're having these conversations with each other. Boyfriend and girlfriend should not necessarily talk about this.
Right.
Unless they're in some sort of open relationship where they're like down for it.
All right. There you have it.
So we don't have to tell her to relax, but we should probably, I feel like I wanted to tell the dude to like, yo, quit narking. You know, like this, he's got loose lips. That's what I'm saying.
And loose lisps think ships. That was just a tweet I had once.
Nice.
It's not just about the rejection of the pilot. It's just like there's an undertone of like when I tell people, they're like, oh, you failed. It wasn't funny enough. It wasn't good enough.
Really feel
and
like
I'm sorry to hear that.
Do you feel like people think that?
Whether they don't think it consciously, it has to be part of it. Like, listen, we made this project. We made this item. We made this thing. And it wasn't deemed good enough.
See, that's
and they're like, so you're not good enough
no,
in some
I don't,
way.
I don't ever feel that. The thing that bothers me is when I tell people and then I can instantly feel them trying to get like cheer me up.
Yeah.
And I just want to be like, I don't need to be cheered up. Like, I got it.
Which makes you seem even sadder.
Right. Well, I would never say that. But right. Yeah, that's like, so I say, no, it didn't happen. And they're like, oh man, I'm so sorry. Well, like this, this, and this. I'm like, look, I know. I go along with it. But in my head, I'm like, I've had this in my head for like months.
Right.
I've all these things that you're reassuring me, I've reassured myself. And like they could never understand like all the tiny little things in my life that like I don't know, that make up the big mosaic of who I am.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to give anybody that like level of intimacy in any one moment. I just want to be like, the pilot didn't get picked up. I'm fine with it. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
But doesn't happen.
All right. Another question. Let me look for a good one, actually.
It's a nice idea.
All right. Another lady's name.
Another lady who helped on our pilot. Ashley Rubin.
Oh, hell yeah. Ashley was our post-production coordinator. And she specifically writes, or at least someone we're calling Ashley Rubin writes, so I met this guy on a Halloween bar crawl. He was a friend of a friend's boyfriend, and through the night we made out in different places and, you know, had a good time. Hand jobs were made. We exchanged Snapchats and kisses goodbye, and for the entire week we chatted every day. We meet up for a beer on Friday night the week after. We had a good time. He laughed. I laughed. We ended the night with a passionate French kiss. We snapped every day for the next week as well. Saturday that next week, we meet up for a coffee. He told me a bunch of deep shit about his friends who went through some drug problems and all. Through that coffee date, we held hands, kissed, had a good time, kissed goodbye, and snapped every day for the next week. I mean, our snap is on fire. The Sunday the next week, we meet up, sit down at a bar, we had some fries. The night ended up at my place, huh? We stayed up all night talking. We slept with arms and legs around each other. We snapped for the entire week after that.
Meet up on 10,000 words.
Meet up on a Saturday. This time my friends are there and his friends are there. Fun night. Night ended up with me going home with him and his friends to his friend's apartment. We had some more beers, made some more jokes, danced a little. He followed me to the subway and we kissed goodbye. Snapped. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Friday, but not Saturday. And now for the last 2 days, I was the one who sends the first snap. I was the one making the jokes. It felt like he was getting distant. So I thought, if he wants to get down, he must send the first snap. And he never did. From every single day to absolute silence. It's been 5 days now. I like this guy. He had brown, thick, curly hair, the smile of an angel, the body of a Greek god. So what happened? What should I do? I'm kind of pissed that he destroyed our Snapfire. That was low of him. Love, Ashley Rubin.
Yeah, dude.
She was describing the beginning of an excellent relationship.
The dude disappeared like a Snapchat itself.
Yeah, the ghost emoji ghosted.
Interesting. Yeah, he just doesn't like her anymore.
Right.
So that's annoying.
So why all the other good stuff?
I think that's just like modern dating, you know, like you're fire and then you're
ice. Charcoal. You know what? Breakups always sort of happen out of the blue for one other person. Right. Because it's hard to be mean to someone for the third, fourth, and fifth date. Like, I'm my best version of myself when I'm with somebody. That means it seems outwardly that it's going great. What am I going to, like, roll my eyes, not smile at jokes, not laugh, not pretend to do this, right, not be polite? I'm my best version, date 5, 6, 7, 8. And then at a certain point, I feel like I don't want to lie anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be polite anymore. I want to be my true self, which is not necessarily be dating this other person.
Right.
So I'll have to be like, sorry, this is going well, but I don't want to do this anymore. And then oftentimes it's like, wait, what are you talking about? We had such a great time. It seems so perfect. We snapped.
Oh, I wasn't having any fun.
Yeah. What I was doing was lying more and more and more and more to the point where I can't quite be that person anymore.
Yeah, but I would say that this isn't necessarily like this guy was growing more and more distant from this girl. Like, he also might, maybe there's, it sounds like he's a fucking hottie. So maybe some other girl just came in, he got super into that, you know?
It's so hard with new relationships because you don't know at all what the other person's going through. He's going through something completely different than you.
Right.
And so frequently, those two things don't line up. The odds of them lining up are so small. That's why not everybody in the world gets married to somebody that they date.
Right.
But the odds of you marrying someone are like 1 in 100, 1 in 500 or whatever.
The testing thing is always funny to me too. Like, she's like, she liked him. She was sending the first snaps. She was sending the first jokes. And then she's like, you know what? I won't send it. And that's always a really dangerous game to be like, I'm going to see if he contacts me first.
Yeah.
Because then he doesn't.
And then what?
And you've really built up the fact that he's going. And like, I bet every single day is just the longest day. You like look at your phone. You're like, what the fuck is going on? So I think you, if you fuck somebody, I don't think there should be any like qualm about sending a text or sending a snap or whatever, whatever, whatever.
And you would say, even if I'm the one initiating it over and over and over, that's fine?
I mean, it depends on what you're getting back. If you're getting...
It is a kind of a good litmus test because it did show her. Like, she's like, I'm not going to snap first and see what happens. Oh, he's not interested. Yeah. Now I know.
It's a little dickling. It's a little Hurwitz of him.
Yeah.
I'll tell him that right now.
Because that's maybe what he was hoping. If she stops, I'll stop. And then it's like, oh, we both ghosted each other. When in fact, he was the one that was doing the ghosting.
Yeah. You're never... I really hope wherever he is, I hope he's not like, oh, I'm off the hook. She didn't text me.
Of course, that's what
first.
He thinks.
Yeah. But obviously, that's like, you know when somebody likes you. And you know when they're waiting. You just have to... I mean, you don't have to, no one's like making you snap this girl, but at the very least you should be like, all right, I probably hurt her. That wasn't ideal of me to do.
Yeah. It seems like this is trending towards the girl reaching out one last time. Like, hey, I really like hanging out with you. Let me know if you want to do the same with me. And then he'll either complete the ghost and not respond to that, which is bad.
That's real bad.
Or he'll be like, yeah, sorry, I guess I'm just not feeling it anymore.
This is, well, you're taking this guy's side because he is you.
Yeah, I am a Snapchatter.
You are the guy that you stop texting. You're like, oh, you didn't text me, so I didn't text you.
Right.
I'm in the right.
But then I feel bad because it's like, what's I'm just talking about myself, not through this guy. Like, am I to have to quote unquote break up with somebody like after like four dates? Do I have to like email her and be like, listen, this isn't going out well for me, I don't really like you like that?
Yeah. No,
and then she's like, wait, what are you talking about? Like, you could have just stopped Snapchatting me and I would have been fine.
It's really a case-by-case basis because some people would rather be ghosted and then some people would rather you be honest.
Which is what like came up on our podcast last week. Like some people prefer like the just the polite, you don't have to sit me down and talk to me. I already feel like the rejection. Let me just at least like convince myself.
Let me get ghosted and I don't have to like have this uncomfortable exchange with you. Yeah. And then somebody else is like, hey, you need to just tell me what's what so I can stop thinking about it.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know. There's not really a right answer because it's really all like, what's the other person prefer and what do you prefer?
And I've done both. I've quote like broken up or had to send an email to someone like after like two dates. And then some people are like, wait, why did you like break up with her? Like
that, you could have just said nothing. Two examples that I'm thinking of, you did the wrong thing each time.
Right. Like the first time I shouldn't have said anything.
And then
but I felt like she was expecting me to reach out. And if I didn't, then I didn't want to be an asshole. I'm always thinking which one will get the lady to think that I'm not an asshole.
Yeah. And I think the very, like just the fact that you're thinking those thoughts makes you not an asshole.
Yeah. But then at a certain point, it's like, it's a little bit selfish to be like, which one will make you like me? Like, I don't give a shit if you want me to say nothing or if you want me to say something. I'll do it. Just tell me which one you want me to do.
Yeah, but that's like sort of a win-win because you want them to like you, but like them liking you is them being the least hurt. So it's sort of like, it's ultimately nice, even though that's not necessarily your primary intention.
Right. Another example of like doing something that's kind of rude, but I feel like it's actually beneficial and helpful is, a lot of times I hear the advice of like, it's better to ask a girl out in person than to like do it over text or over email. Cause that's like really passive and that's kind of wienery and kind of lame and kind of modern, like be a man and say it to her face.
Right.
But I think I think asking a girl out over text or email is nicer because you're not like confronting her and putting her in a weird place where she has to like reject you or accept you instantly to your face.
Right.
If I'm staring at someone, be like, do you want to go out sometime? Like, what kind of weird position does that put her in?
They usually just say yes and then they bail later.
Right.
I think it almost just doesn't even matter at that point. If they like you, they'll like being asked out in any of those fashions. And if they don't like you, I guess they'd probably most like to not be asked out face to face.
Yeah.
But I think if you get the sense that somebody likes you and you ask them out face to face, they're pretty pumped on it.
But there's this old-fashioned thing where it's just like you should ask someone out to their face. I also heard recently that it's nice to pick somebody up in your car rather than like, let's meet at this bar in an Uber.
Yeah, I'm all for that like second level confidence. Like, I don't think I would ever go up to someone and be like, hey, I'd like to take you out sometime. But like, you know, you make friends. You're like, hey, what are you doing? Like, you set up a date. And then once the date is set up, then you be that like ultimate gentleman. Then you're like, I'll pick you up. I'll do, whatever, all that stuff.
Yeah, pickup is, I don't know. I'm not 100% into the pickup either.
Well, we live in Los Angeles where it's like, it makes more sense to meet in an Uber so you can both get drunk.
Right. But I mean, it always makes more sense to meet in an Uber so you can both get drunk. But like, some people would say like, no, we live in LA. It would
depends
be nice
what
to get
picked
up. It's a car culture. The date is a drive-in movie theater.
Right. So you have to take your date and the Uber driver to the drive-in.
So let me call an Uber. We'll pick you up. And Luis or Mario will just sit in the front while we watch.
Racist. Has to be Luis or Mario.
Oh, Luigi or Mario. Sorry. I just think most Italian plumbers end up driving for Uber.
Yeah, there's not a lot of plumbing to go around.
So I don't know. That's, I guess, what was this guy's specific question?
She's just mad for, he like put out the snap fire.
What should she do?
I mean, nothing's happening. So if I were her, I would continue don't reach out to him. Except that it's over. He was sort of a little bit of a dickling, but that's okay. Try to meet somebody else.
There's always other humans. That's the best thing about being on Earth. There's more humans than just that one guy.
Yeah, there's more pilots.
We'll
be able to write again.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
TV still exists. The internet still exists. We can create stuff that doesn't have to be Jake and Amir. It can be something else. It can be something entirely new, something exciting, something that builds upon what we've known and learned. It just doesn't fucking make sense,
dude.
There
we go. Let it out.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Oh, I have to promote that I went into my mom's podcast.
No, we don't have time for that.
Hey, guys.
Let's wrap this up.
The pilot is not picked up, but you can still hear me reading the Secret Life of Walter Mitty on my mom's podcast, which is called The Easy Chair.
Oh, that's
it's on
nice.
The HeadGum Network.
Head Your mommy's com. Podcast.
My mommy's podcast.
Jake.
I'm her favorite guest. She actually admitted on this podcast that I was her favorite child.
Wow.
Or at least the favorite son.
Still.
Pretty good.
Still pretty. Still, she still shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
We're also on the Black Men Can't Jump podcast a week or two ago talking about White Men Can't Jump.
Yes.
So if you like their episode on our show last week, we go on their show and you can listen to that right now. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for listening. Thank you for everything. We appreciate it. We will continue making stuff and we hope you continue watching and enjoying. This isn't the end. This isn't the end. This is not the end of us.
This is not the beginning either.
No.
This is the middle.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not the beginning. Yeah.
Trust us. We are peaking.
Yeah.
Join us.
It's going to be a nice long descent, baby. And you guys are going to be with us every step of the way.
Hey, what's the best part of a roller coaster? Am I right, folks? The precipitous drop.
The opening theme song was written by Stop the Rock. You can listen to him on Steam or add him on Steam. I Filthy Casual. And this closing theme song is from Misha and Alex Scott. We'll be back next week and the week after and over and over and over. And
forever.
Because
True TV doesn't have any say on the fucking podcast.
And the shit, they just canceled our podcast.
How?
How is this legal? See y'all next week. Bye.
Thanks.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.